Hi, I'm back, and we have some technical difficulties, so bear with me for just a second. I'm just texting one of you that was so kind to let me know that I had muted myself or hung up, actually, I think is what happened. Call in again. So we have just like 20 minutes left on this call, part two, we'll call it. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how that happened. My phone, I think, was sitting underneath my pillow, which is sitting underneath my computer. And I think I got a little excited telling you about surrender, and I probably bumped it and I hung up. So my dearest apologies. Hopefully, just calling back, I'll include it in the PDF moving forward that this is a two-part call. Dang it, and it was almost perfect. Each week was perfectly aligned with the conference call number. I hate that. Anyhow. I will surrender to that right now. Okay, so let me turn off the chime. And okay, and now I need to do a meeting, and we're ready to go back and just finish up this PDF. All right, so my apologies that this is a two-part call. I'm not exactly sure how, but somehow I either muted myself or hung up the phone accidentally. I was told that I was cut off about 7 minutes ago, and it took me a couple minutes to call back in. So I'm just going to back up. I'm going to trust that exactly where it got cut off was where it was supposed to be cut off, and I'm just going to trust that and let it be a beautiful thing. So we are going to pick up, however, right at the end. I believe where I got cut off was explaining the notion of knowing the truth and respecting the illusion. I'm going to respect the illusion. That's exactly what you needed to hear and know came across in that in the first part of this call, and we're going to pick up right there. So I just finished explaining knowing the truth and respecting the illusion, and now I'll read from the PDF just to catch up. Know the truth and respect the illusion. Know the truth is knowing you are merely co-creating God. Trusting that God will lift you up to heights you cannot imagine when the time is right. I knew that God had something sacred in store for me. I would feel it happening on small scales during a sales meeting or a training where I was teaching about a product and the words came so easy. People laughed. I touched a life with my divine knowing of the truth, and I trusted the result. I'm not talking about the product here. I'm talking about the truth of connecting with others, the truth of seeing the divine in each other, the truth of knowing my own divine existence. I surrendered to the outcome, but I knew it was greater than I could imagine. And I do have a pretty good imagination, I must say. Moving on in the PDF on page 3, respecting the illusion is taking action towards your intention and goal. That's what we're talking about, the walking prayer. You surrender to the outcome, but you take responsibility for each step in the action process. So respecting the illusion is taking action towards your intention or goal. For example, I took action to better myself in hopes of finding a new career that would allow me to be with my family most of the time and be easy on my body while serving the highest good using my talents. That's it. I mean, it sounds easy now, but finding that space of respecting that illusion was not always easy. I studied spiritual psychology. I found a mentor. I learned all that I could about Christ consciousness, and I practiced my gifts. I spoke in front of people. I helped those in need. I began writing this book, and it all respected the illusion of moving into a new career where my family would always come first. That is respecting the illusion. And all of that that appears to be the illusion of this divine world is the beautiful knowing of the truth. Knowing that taking action in this, air quotes again, illusion of the planet Earth was all in alignment with the divine truth of sharing my gifts. So did I have to take all those steps? I did, to respect the illusion of my ego, to respect the illusion of what this world says we must do. And I did that. And all of the things that I did to respect the illusion support the divine truth, knowing the truth that I am a child of God and that these are my gifts to share. So I really want you to think about, what is your truth? Where are you at? Wherever you're at, your truth ultimately is, I'm whole, I'm complete, I'm a child of God, I'm worthy, I'm deserving, I'm perfect. That is ultimately your truth, because it is everyone's truth that's walking on planet Earth right now. However, be honest with yourself. Where are you? Where is your truth right now? And if you get quiet enough and you observe enough and you listen enough, you do all the processes of the self-love program, your truth is there, and you know it's your truth. But your illusion, for whatever reason, is stronger at times. Mind you, the illusion is stronger at times than the truth. So you need to take a look at these two components. What is your truth, and what is the illusion? The goal is that the thing that matters, of course, is the truth. Now, the illusion matters because we are human right now, and we need to respect that. And as we respect the illusion, we are supporting our truth. And ultimately, our truth supports the illusion. I hope that's not too confusing for some of you. Some of you have done a lot of work in this area, and this is, you know, good review and words that you know already, to hear them out loud, to allow them to absorb. Because in every moment of every day, every second that we move into the future, we have an opportunity to hear things differently, to approach the same old, the beginner's mind. And in that moment, we can hear something in a way we've never heard it before. I experience that all the time on a regular basis. So I ask you, whether it's the first time you're hearing this philosophy, this truth of illusion and knowing your truth, if it's the very first time, explore it. Bite off a little bite. Take what works for you. Don't overwhelm yourself. Allow yourself to digest this. In fact, if this is your first time hearing this kind of talk and this kind of separation between the illusion and the truth, and even surrender for that matter, then this lesson one from the Course in Miracles will be a perfect way to slip into this idea, this divine knowing. And if you are, you know, an expert at this, going back to lesson one, I say, is always the best place to start, isn't it? So from A Course in Miracles, lesson one, nothing I see in this room, on this street, from this window, in this place, means anything. This is the first lesson in A Course in Miracles, so that you surrender your attachment to things. And it was such a perfect lesson. I don't know if I legally can put it in my book, but I'm definitely going to try. It is such a perfect lesson to look at the material world in a whole new way, even look at other people in a whole new way. It wipes the slate clean. It starts with a fresh canvas. And by doing this moment by moment in this simple exercise, which we're going to do together now, and then you're going to practice throughout the week a couple times. Not every day, but throughout the week a couple times you're going to practice this, just to really see the ability you have, that everything you have to offer and bring to the table is all 100% your perception in every moment. So in every moment, if everything that's happening to you is your perception, it's your movie, it's your story, you're the director, what if you didn't have these attachments? What if you didn't come with the set of rules, the set of limiting beliefs, the set of worries and stresses that you think you come with? What if you reset that? Much like detoxing our physical body, much like coming to a place where we have exhausted the physical body and we start clean, or we detox through diet and exercise and meditation. Very, very similar. So the lesson goes like this. Now look slowly around you and practice applying this idea very specifically to whatever you see. So in this moment, as you're listening to this live or recorded, in this moment, take the opportunity to look around you in your surroundings. And I will read the examples and you fill in the words for yourself. This table does not mean anything. This chair does not mean anything. My hand does not mean anything. This foot does not mean anything. This pen does not mean anything. Then take an opportunity to look farther away from your immediate area and apply the idea to a wider range. That door does not mean anything. That body does not mean anything. That lamp does not mean anything. That sign does not mean anything. That shadow does not mean anything. Notice that these statements are not arranged in any order and make no allowance for difference in the kinds of things to which they are applied. That is the purpose of the exercise. The statement should merely be applied to anything you see. As you practice this idea for today or for this week on and on, use it totally indiscriminately. Do not attempt to apply it to everything you see, for these exercises should not become ritualistic. Only be sure that nothing you see is specifically excluded. One thing is like another as far as the application of the idea is concerned. You can take this all the way to that person does not mean anything. Now, the next exercise in A Course in Miracles, of course, is to assign a new meaning. Decide what these things mean to you. I'm looking right now at my little brown chair. It's a wooden chair that was made for me by my grandfather when I was probably a year and a half, 2 years old. Probably a year and a half, somewhere there. And on the bottom of it, he painted my name, Ava Louise, and then Louise Louise. And this chair means the world to me. It is a collection of so many memories of my childhood, memories of my grandfather and my grandmother, and of course my mother herself, and all my childhood times. And now, in my mid-late 40s, I'm in possession of this chair, and it's just wherever I live for the last 40-something years, it's been in my room next to my bed. And sometimes it holds my purse, sometimes it holds flowers, sometimes it holds a stuffed animal. It just sits in my room, and it's this beautiful, loving reminder. In this exercise, I look at this chair and I say, this chair does not mean anything. This chair does not mean anything. And as I slowly accept that surrender space, that the chair does not mean anything, it's just a chair. It's just a chair with some paint and some nails and some wood, and it's just a chair. My memories that I have are mine. And if this chair were to disappear from my bedroom, I still have the memories. I do not have an attachment to the physicality of this chair. Now, in the next lesson, I can assign a beautiful attachment and memory to the chair, which I have done before. And now this chair, it does mean something to me. But I also now am aware of the surrendering that it's not the chair. It's my memory. It's my perception. It's part of my miracle. It's not the chair. That's a beautiful surrender. Each of the first three lessons, this is from directly quoted from Course in Miracles, just to make note. Each of the first three lessons in Course in Miracles should not be done more than twice a day, preferably morning and evening, nor should they be attempted for more than a minute or so, unless that entails a sense of hurry. Nor should they be attempted for more than a minute or so, unless it entails a sense of hurry. In other words, don't rush through it, but don't spend a long time. Comfortable sense of leisure is essential, meaning don't put so much effort on, that has no meaning, it has no meaning, oh my God, I'm still thinking it has meaning. It's a gentle suggestion. And then walk yourself through the process. And you can even, if you'd like to, you can reassign meaning to it after you dismiss the meaning for at least a day. Each of the lessons in Course in Miracles is meant to happen daily. So there's many lessons, and it's supposed to be one a day. In this case, I'm looking at surrender and just offering you this lesson to release meaning and reassign it if you wish, but to first release the meaning so that you can experience surrender in the material world, because it's something that our ego can grasp and understand. And then you can apply it on deeper levels of your life. I hope that makes sense. And of course, as always, if something is confusing or you're not sure how to apply it or you don't know what it means for you personally, please don't hesitate to text, email me anytime, and we can talk about it, okay? So the breakdown for your final week of this beautiful self-love program is, number one, answer the questions above on page 2 of this PDF that we talked about. Number 2, do the course assignment once tomorrow in the morning and once tomorrow at night. You can do it this evening before you go to bed, then it's tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, and that should be enough. Then you can reassign meaning if you'd like. Number three, write down your experience of the Course in Miracles Lesson 1. Write down the experience of what did it feel like to remove meaning from things that you see in your world. And where did you draw the line? Well, I'm not going to say that that person doesn't mean anything. But knowing there is a sense of comfort in knowing you can reassign the meaning, but allow yourself to dive into this experiment and see what it feels like. Number four, stay committed to your foundation and all the other soul work assignments till the end of the 40 days, which, you know, 6 weeks, 7 days each is obviously 42. So, you know, but 40 is biblical. I mean, 40 is perfect. 40 days and 40 nights, right? So at least commit to the end of the 40 days. But do consider continuing the process and the practice for the rest of your life. How would it hurt you to meditate every day for the rest of your life? How could it possibly cause you grief to be grateful for 10 things every night before you go to bed? What on earth could you suffer from morning pages besides maybe losing 50 minutes of sleep? What you gain is so much greater. And, of course, the obvious one, how could moving your body to the, you know, to the best of your ability, to your comfort level, ever be harmful to you? The truth is it cannot. And speaking your truth, listening with your heart, practicing seva, practicing self-forgiveness, practicing surrender, this is not a course where you say, oh, good, the 40 days are over, I'm done with that BS. This is a course, this is a program where you make big changes, you make big shifts in your life. And you will ebb and flow like I do. I mean, I wrote this, and I still ebb and flow in and out of morning pages, in and out of this and that. And that's fine. That's life. That's beautiful. Allow things to throw a wrench in your life. That wrench most definitely will turn out to be a miracle. You may not see it that moment. You may not see it in 10 minutes. You may not even see it in 10 months or 10 years. But allow yourself to ebb and flow. The worst thing you can do is judge yourself for not doing the foundation right, and then have to go to the forgiveness portion of the program because your judgment didn't do the foundation right. Release. Surrender. Please, please, I beg you guys, write to me about your experience of your favorite week during this program or your least favorite week. Just a simple story. You can write just the facts. You can write a beautiful, you know, floral story about it. But these stories are really important to me because they are going to go into my book, into the self-love book. And, of course, you know, you won't be identified. I will change names. I will change specifics so that nobody could possibly trace back to you and your journey of the morning pages from hell. But this is, it's so important that I have actual stories. I would definitely love to hear from you guys. It's been such a blessing to work with each and every one of you. And the people from the past years that have given me stories about this program, too. You know, I will do at least one story per week, and maybe even more, and maybe reference them also in the writing. So you can see the skeleton of my book is here in the 6 weeks, and I'm working on, you know, fleshing the rest of it out, filling in the spaces, explaining what needs to be explained, re-listening to the conference calls, putting things into the book that I always said on the call, and your stories are so very important. So thank you so much. A couple of you have sent in a couple things, which I really appreciate, but definitely not enough. So please take a moment, maybe tonight when we hang up from the conference call, or sometime during the week when you're getting ready to do your gratitude journal, just jot down the story of the foundation or the story of Seva, et cetera, et cetera. Number six, share this program with someone you love. So invite someone you love to give me a call, a text, an email, and enroll them in the self-love program. It's such a beautiful process, as you guys all know right now. Anybody that's listening to this call in the present or in the future, you know, really help me share my gifts by telling people about the program. And number seven, get ready for the transformation program. Let me read to you just a couple quotes, and we will end this beautiful six-week program with a prayer. So first a quote from Eckhart Tolle. Always say yes to the present moment. What could be more futile, more insane, than to create inner resistance to what already is? What could be more insane than to oppose life itself, which is now and always now? Surrender to what is. Say yes to life. And see how life suddenly starts working for you rather than against you. Surrender to what is. And another quote by A.W. Tozer, "The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. They haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us." Surrender. Beloved Mother, Father God, thank you so much for the beautiful blessing, for the beautiful channeling of this self-love program. Thank you so much for each and every person that has walked through this program on their own, in a group, with me, independently, whatever the situation may be, everyone listening to my words. Thank you so much. Thank you to each and every one of the participants for allowing me to share my gift. And collectively, we ask, beloved Mother, Father God, for the ability to remember who we are, to remember that we are children of God, to remember that we are capable to receive our miracles in any given moment, to remember that we are capable to surrender to you, God, to co-create with you, to trust the highest good for the most people at all times, to surrender our stress, our worry, our regret, our guilt, to surrender all judgment, to surrender and hold a place of sacred peace, love, joy, and great abundance for ourselves and for all of humankind. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is. Many blessings to all of you. I apologize for the two parts of the call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please reach out for the 30 minutes if you haven't done so already. And much love to each and every one of you. Many blessings.